Ancient Faith Radio now presents Approaching the Wardrobe with Jeff Wisniewski. Here, Orthodox Christians will come to better understand and relate to the not-yet-Orthodox. And the not-yet-Orthodox will find comfort and insights that will encourage them to finally and fully embrace the ancient Christian faith. Here's Jeff with today's broadcast.
And welcome back to Approaching the Wardrobe. We're starting to dive into some very specific topics each time in the podcast, looking for what's going on inside of people. And today's topic is very interesting because the topic is weddings. There is something about weddings that encapsulates all kinds of various passions and experiences. A wedding is like almost a shaken carbonated beverage where people come to it and all of a sudden out from them comes all these things that have been on their minds or hearts, all these relationships that have been going on from the past year, people they haven't seen, people they know well or used to know well, all these feelings about God, sacred moments in life, monumental, pivotal moments in life, all these things are here in this one encapsulated moment of a wedding. Here initially, I'd like to give you a little heads up. I've actually broken this podcast into two episodes. So in the next episode next week, we will dive more into the actual wedding concept itself. Now, before we get into weddings themselves and comparing a couple different kinds of weddings and looking for the spiritual meaning in them, both outside of Orthodoxy and a touch within it, and the tensions that go on there in the American world of weddings, I first want to back up a little and talk about the beginning of what leads to a wedding, and that is romance. The romantic love that calls two people out from everybody else and draws them to each other somehow has an incredibly life-altering effect emotionally, chemically, and brings them to a completely new experience in life. This is a godly occurrence, and if handled with purity and godliness, can be one of the most beautiful things in life. Have you ever noticed that it's the one thing that everybody shares from culture to culture as far as a very strong emotional experience that everyone can relate to? Romance. I've always thought it funny that 85% of songs on the radio, songs that stick with us, songs that catch our ears right away, are usually about romance and love in that type of definition. It's because it's in us and it's what perks up our hearts. It's what makes us blind. It's what makes a completely sane, stable, logical man just become a total floof ball. And love is blind, as we know. And love makes those who can see completely blind and gaga. I just posted this week a picture from the movie, the film of Shakespeare's Much Ado About Nothing, where Kenneth Branagh does a great job directing and producing that film. And I couldn't figure out, I put next to my Facebook picture, why is it that for 17 years I've watched this movie about 12 different times and still love it? And all these people commented on it. Oh, I love that movie. Oh, yeah, I've seen that. And others are like, oh, what is that movie? And all this. And in that movie, one of the main characters, the guy Kenneth Branagh plays, this is a Shakespeare comedy, of course. He is completely hardened against women, all women. Very chauvinistic, very into himself. But he argues with the other lady who is played by Emma Thompson. And they go back and forth. And when their friends play tricks on them to make them think the other person is in love with them, all of a sudden, all of their arguments, all of their condescension and negativity just completely flip-flops, and they are absolutely smitten with each other and in love. And I can picture Kenneth Branagh plays jumping around the fountain, kicking water in the air. Emma Thompson swinging on a swing. They are just completely smitten with this thing called love.
I did never think to marry.
I must not seem proud. Happy are they that hear their detractions and can put them to mending. They say the lady is fair, 'tis a truth, I can bear them witness, and virtuous, 'tis so, I cannot reprove it, and wise. But for loving me, by my troth, it is no addition to her wit, nor no great argument of her folly, for I will be horribly in love with her. I may chance to have some odd quirks and remnants of wit broken on me because I have railed so long against marriage. But does not the appetite alter? A man loves the meat in his youth that he cannot endure in his age. Shall these quips and sentences and paper bullets of the brain awe a man from the career of his humour? No! The world must be peopled! When I said I would die a bachelor, I did not think I should live till I were married. There! Here comes Beatrice. By this day, she's a fair lady.
Now, tying this into spirituality and the scriptures in our faith, let's not forget that the Hebrews, back with the Song of Songs, had this wedding and romantic entire book of scriptures that we have called the Song of Songs, which touched on the sensual images from nature and from love to completely focus in on this beautiful, magical part of the human psyche. Throughout history, from the ancient Hebrews on, everyone has, from the fathers on, we've all seen this as having the spiritual symbolism concerning our relationship with God and romance with God in a pure sense. Not only just the image of love, does that have to do with God and his desire for us, but there's also all kinds of little images that we see, even if you look in the Orthodox Study Bible, little notes about things that happened in the New Testament in the life of Christ that are foreshadowed here in the Song of Songs. So romance in and of itself is a beautiful thing, and that's where it starts. That leads people to this event that we call a wedding.
Here I set my face unto you, here I speak my heart's true vow, here I choose to walk beside you, loving only you, my heart speaks true, forevermore from now. I will love you in the dawning, and in the bright noonday, I will love you in the even. Every day I live, my heart I'll give, I'll love you from my grave. I have heard God in your laughter, I have seen him on your face, and it's clear now what he's after, for he wrote your name on my heart in flame. It's a wound I'll not erase.
In the Song of Songs, chapter 7, we catch a wonderful passage in verse 11. I am my beloved's, and his desire is towards me. And then it continues on here with some imagery. The Hebrews often did not even let children read or hear the Song of Songs. I should say hear, listen to, because some of the imagery was clearly sensual, to say the least. I'll pick up from verse 11 here. I am my beloved's, and his desire is towards me. Come, my beloved, let us go forth into the field. Let us lodge in the villages. Let us rise early in the morning in the vineyards. Let us see if the vine has flowered, if the blossoms have appeared, if the pomegranates have blossomed. There I will give you my beep. if you get the picture. So romance is a wonderful godly thing, given by God as a gift. And the only other time I've seen people's hearts get moved so heavily outside of this romantic love is in a genuine conversion experience or experience with God, where God touches us with that same type of emotion. It's not required, but it happens at times, and God finds pleasure in that. And so we are made for romance, let's not forget that, and then eventually the mystery of becoming the bride of Christ, which we see in the New Testament, and how we are the bride and he is the bridegroom, which consummates from our perspective sometime in the future when he takes his bride away to be blessed forever in his room. So this is the beginning of the journey towards the wedding in all mankind, and every culture around the world can connect with them on this point. We can share these same desires. God does send rain all over the world on the just and the unjust, and there are some things that are common to all of us that we can share and connect with people on, even more so the Christian world, whatever Christian group or scene they are in. Now, concerning weddings and marriage, I'm going to say something here that might be a little bit offensive to those outside of the sacramental Christian world, and I'll try to explain it a little better in the next podcast when we deal more with weddings themselves. Through an experience that I had recently, we'll try to pick up on some of the concepts, some of the differences between weddings outside of the Orthodox Church. But the statement I'm going to make here is that weddings outside of the sacramental Christian world, and probably more precisely the sacramental Christian mindset, are very limited, both the weddings and the marriage themselves, when they only go as far as the concept of marriage being a covenant. What I mean by that is, if you have a Christian mindset that your whole Christian faith and the Christian world is a covenant, and you take it up to that point, and you don't go further into the world of sacrament, into the world of the holy mysteries, your life, your marriage, your everything being a holy mystery, a sacrament, something that is holy in the sense of being set apart for God and his kingdom in an experiential manner. When you don't view your marriage as being a sacrament or a holy mystery, it's never taken to that next level in the midst of day-to-day life. When you take your view of marriage up to the point of a covenant, which happens quite frequently in the Protestant world, this marriage is a commitment, my romance is going to fade from time to time and come back from time to time, and we all understand that. And so then it comes down to being a commitment, and I've heard that taught a lot, you know, marriage is going to be a commitment when your romance fades. And that's the covenant view of marriage, stemming back from, of course, the covenant view of salvation, where there's a commitment to Christ. God then fulfills his commitment to save you once and forever, and you both meet your agreement, and there is your Christian life. And then in this thing called marriage, it's the same way. We have our covenant time together, and then we are committed to each other for the rest of our lives. That's the covenant view of Christianity, of course, and of marriage. Well, when it's taken further into the realm of sacrament, the marriage takes on a whole new dimension when Paul talks about marriage in the epistles, and then he talks about the mystery he's speaking of. That's the sacramental aspect of it, and all of a sudden it's Christ and the church, and all of a sudden our marriage takes on a mystical, holy state of being that we might miss otherwise. This is where marriage encounters orthodoxy. Someone I know very closely mentioned that they, when they came to orthodoxy, they saw more beauty in people's marriages in how they interacted with each other. The marriage wasn't just a dry, cold commitment like we've seen in a lot of other people, which may have some moments of romance or not, but there was something different. This person told me in other people's marriages they noticed in orthodoxy, there was like some kind of a deeper level of honor that was shown from the husband toward the wife. And that must have been a healthy situation, or two or three or however many things this person was talking about. There was something different in the marriages. They didn't seem so cold. And I don't mean to slam Protestant marriages, to various degrees, they're going to have a sacramental quality to them, depending on the people involved and their mindset. Well, the Orthodox wedding itself and then the marriage is supposed to be a sacrament, meaning it's a holy mystery, an image somehow of Christ and the Church, somehow displaying magically and beautifully the kingdom of God in the midst of our daily physical life. There's that sense of our physical experience being orthodoxy, the kingdom of God living through our physical relationships as being the beauty of the kingdom of God. That's orthodoxy. I've attracted some more females with this topic today of weddings. Let's not forget the reason girls are dreaming of what they're going to wear and how they're going to do their wedding. It's because that's an implanted, beautiful thing that God has in us. We love romance and we need it. And let's turn it to the ultimate source above all else, which is Christ Himself, our ultimate love. Now, I did want to mention, some people have emailed me and asked about little clips of music I use in my podcasts at times, and there are a couple people, Father Justin Matthews with one T, has some beautiful songs that I use sometimes from the album Confessing Between the Lines. Also, there is Ron Moore, who's an incredible songwriter, Ron Moore, M-O-O-R-E. You can find their music and others through the stromanosrecords.com, which is stromanos.com, and I want to thank them for giving me permission to use their music in this series. Thank you for joining me today as we approach the wardrobe.
You've been listening to Approaching the Wardrobe with Jeff Wisniewski. Jeff is a former Protestant youth minister and missionary. This podcast is a listener-supported presentation of Ancient Faith Radio on the web at ancientfaith.com.